scrolling through social media now, it's become a nonstop parade of artists revealing their creations by slowly turning around to music. It's all perfectly timed and edited together. It's fun, yes, but I miss the days when an artist could simply post an image of their works and let it speak for itself. For the shy, quiet types among us, the ones who let our art do the talking, these trends can feel a little overwhelming. Today's guest is an artist who has built a world entirely her own, one where the work truly speaks for itself. I'm your host, Jacob Johnson. This is the My Art Is Real podcast, a narrative journey into the lives that shape art. Today's episode, Katie Gamm, right after the break. This podcast is made possible by you, the listener. If you enjoy this show at all, please don't forget to share it with anyone you know, but please go and rate it or review it on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen to the podcast. Those ratings really help me out, really help the podcast reach new people that might enjoy it. So thank you so much. If you would like to support the artists directly and support me as well and help this show keep going, you can go to myartisreal.com and purchase limited edition prints. Thank you so much. And enjoy the episode.
I'm Katie Gamm. I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I'm a painter.
And is that the town you grew up in?
I grew up in Keel, Wisconsin. It's like about an hour and a half away. It's pretty small, and I came to Milwaukee for art school, and I've just been here ever since. I really liked it.
Katie grew up in a small town out in the country, which meant a lot of time outdoors. A lot of space to explore, and like many kids with that kind of upbringing, she found herself out in nature.
I grew up kind of in the country, so I loved being outside. My family did a lot of gardening, so I loved helping out with that and like being in the woods and playing with had bunnies and cats. That a lot. I really like drawing, and I guess more than anything else, I love reading. So I did. I was definitely a book kid.
Well, there's no surprise there. When you look at her art, you can see the influence of these stories right away.
A lot of fairy tales. Gosh, everything. Absolutely everything. I remember going to the library and taking home just huge stacks of books. I guess earlier, like a lot of Roald Dahl, Madeline L'Engle was probably one of my favorites in elementary school. I loved the whole Wrinkle in Time series. It was really good. Any sort of like sci-fi or fantasy. My mom had a volume of Grimm's Fairy Tales, but like Grimm's Fairy Tales, the creepy versions, like the original versions. And I read that, and we had, I don't know, just looking back at the stuff now, I'm like, oh, that's where it comes from. But we had a bunch of like unsolved mystery books and like books about UFOs and stuff that I would look at. It was like some stuff that was kind of like, I don't know if little kids should have been reading that, but very like creepy stuff that I really liked that too.
And what was it that kind of drew you into books, you think?
I mean, my mom had a lot of books. She was a big reader. She ended up working in the library at the middle school, the local middle school. So she's a really big reader. And I guess I was just drawn to being a pretty solitary kid. It's like just the fantasy, the like internal dialogue of reading. I just was really drawn to it.
And more than anything, she loved the books with illustrations.
And I loved the illustrations, too. I was like, there's this, I don't like the tidy narrative it provides, but my, the librarian at the elementary school told me a story later on that I didn't actually remember. But apparently one day I was taking home like a huge armful of books, and she asked me if I wanted to be an author when I grew up. And I said, no, I want to be an illustrator because I just love the images so much that like book illustration was always something that I was really drawn towards.
Much like myself, Katie was painfully shy. And as she got older, books and drawing became her way to find a sense of belonging and a place to escape.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really hard to talk to people and make friends. It was like, I feel like right around the time I started getting really into drawing was also right around the time I started having more difficulty talking to people. Really, as a really little kid, I was never like super duper shy, but it became really hard to like have conversations with people all throughout school. So I would go so far as to say painfully shy.
As her love for illustrations grew, she started creating her own images. Do you remember what sort of stuff you were drawing back then when you were growing up?
I wish I could remember like some of my first drawings, but I just remember being encouraged to keep going. I think when I was little, obviously all little kids draw, and I think maybe I just did a little bit more than most did, or it was like maybe, I remember like, I think it was specifically Beatrix Potter, because there was something so accessible as a kid about her books. And obviously she's like just a master artist and she studied so much. So it's not, but like the simplicity that she gets in like some of her illustrations, I think there's something in a little kid's brain that goes like, maybe someday I could do that. So like, just drawing like little bunnies and little creatures and outfits and stuff. I think it kind of started out there really admiring that and kind of like trying to see if I can do something like that.
Before long, art had just became a part of who she was.
I think like first grade was when that stuff sort of started to cement. And I started kind of associating drawing with my personality as opposed to just like, oh, everyone draws, you know.
Eventually, others took notice of her art skills, and she became known as the art kid.
So I was the art kid super early, and I remember a couple odd instances of like jealousy when other kids were like suddenly the art kid. Like there was another kid in one of my classes, and the teacher was like, oh, look at how wonderful her drawing is. Like she even drew the eyelashes. And I was like, what about me? So yeah, I think really early that kind of cemented as the art kid, and like all going throughout school, it just kind of became, because I was also really shy and like people commenting on a drawing or like being able to like draw someone a cool birthday card or something. Like I might be like too shy to say anything, but I can like draw you a picture. Like that kind of became a way of relating to people.
Just like that, art wasn't just her personal escape anymore. It became a bridge, a way to reach out and connect with others without having to say a word. It was communication, but in a language that felt more natural to her. Art was so deeply woven into Katie's life that when she thought about what to study in college, she knew it would be something creative. But she wasn't quite sure what.
So I was really into music as well. I played clarinet and I was in show choir and did a lot of theater. So I was kind of debating between, I knew something in the arts in general, but I wasn't really sure if it was going to be visual art. And I just kind of narrowed it down to visual art, mostly because of stage fright. Performing is obviously kind of challenging. I like it, but also really hate it. So it's like, this probably isn't going to be my bag.
Okay, so now she knows what type of art she's going to pursue. Perfect. We are off to a great start. And what school did you end up attending?
The art teacher at the school recommended I check out the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design and maybe consider like graphic design, because he was trying to help me be practical. So I was like, okay, maybe I can do graphic design. So that was kind of what I was thinking at the time. Maybe some sort of like art director situation. Like, I don't know, people told me jobs that you could do with art. So I was like, I guess I'll maybe try towards something like that.
Oh, yes. Graphic design. The practical choice. After interviewing so many artists, it's clear that graphic design is a kind of classic be an artist without starving career path. But let's be honest. It's not for everyone, and it sure as hell wasn't for Kate. The thing was, in her real personal life, she didn't really know anyone that was making a living through art. So even if graphic design wasn't the dream, it felt like the only option she could see.
I didn't really know anyone doing any sort of art. Like I didn't see any adults doing any of that. So it was pretty much just like the art teachers telling me like, oh, you can do this. There's like art therapy, there's art teaching. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll hopefully figure something out. But I didn't. That was pretty much it.
And without really knowing anyone in that field, were you nervous to be pursuing the arts?
I had no idea what I was doing. I was really nervous. I don't know. It felt like going after it just blindly, just kind of like feeling my way through it. And I don't know if I recognized that feeling at the time, but now I think that's probably what I was feeling. Just like sort of like trying to feel my way toward something that I wanted to do, but having absolutely no idea what I actually wanted.
As she started to make her way through college, that shyness lingered. It was like this old friend that refused to leave, hanging around, sitting right there in the back row of every classroom.
Unfortunately, I was just as shy. I'm a lot better now, obviously, like life experience giving you a bit more perspective on stuff like that. But I was really shy. It was really hard for me to make friends while I was there. I met a couple people. Like my roommate ended up being my roommate for several years. And like I met a couple other people, but it was more like it was almost like I was a cryptid, kind of the way I hear them talk about me now. It's like, oh, I had a Katie sighting. I didn't actually realize that that's how I was like kind of being viewed, like this like kind of like person who's just kind of moving around like, oh, there she is, I wonder if she'll talk to us. Whereas at the time I was just like in my head very like, oh my god, everyone hates me.
But as Katie settled into her classes, something interesting happened. She found herself drifting from the computer screens and design programs of graphic design, and instead she started to lean into something else, something that felt real to her. She found herself drawn to fine arts, especially book illustration.
Okay, so I guess I'll start, like, when I first started at MIAD, we got these like, introductory books. You get a year before you actually have to pick your major. And I was looking at all of the work of all of the different majors, and I found the stuff that I was most drawn towards was the illustration. It was just like the fine artwork was beautiful. There was a lot of really cool stuff. The design, I was like, that's not really me as much. But the illustration was just so fun and free. And it looked like the people who were drawing it were having so much fun making it that I was like, I feel like this is where I want to be. So like I kind of slowly narrowed it down that way. And book illustration having always been at the back of my mind, I kind of like tried to sort of aim myself in that direction, not really being as interested in like the editorial side of things. Like maybe this is like kind of what I can aim toward. The graphic design thing still seemed like it could be very practical, but I'm just not very technically savvy. And the computer classes always sort of honestly bored me, whereas the painting, like the actual physical painting classes, were so much fun that I was like, oh, I want to take more of those. So I ended up asking the registrar or whoever if I could switch out and be more like illustration / fine arts and skip a couple of the computer classes in favor of taking more painting classes, and they agreed. So I ended up going more that route, even though it's maybe a little less practical. I was like, I feel like this is how I can create my best work.
Katie was following her heart, letting go of the safe, practical route in favor of something that felt personal to her. And honestly, I get it. It's her life and she only has one shot at it. Why spend it bringing other people's vision to life when you could be creating your own?
I was really excited about that aspect of things and kind of maybe thinking more about that than I was about like a career. And at the same time, I was starting to see there was this shop in Milwaukee called Hot Pop that was right around the corner from MIAD, the Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design. And I would go there and they had issues of Juxtapose, and high fructose. And that's kind of how I started finding out about that world. And I discovered like Brandy Milne and Camille Rose Garcia and all of these artists who were doing, they had the same feeling of like fun that I felt when I looked at the illustration art. And that really clicked with me. Like, I was like, that's the kind of stuff. Like, I relate to that. There's something about this work that I really jive with and I can see myself doing. So I like would kind of say things about like, oh yeah, graphic design, or I'll like kind of do practical stuff and then maybe do my art on the side. But in my mind, I was like, I just want to make this art. So I like, it was kind of my secret plan to just like try to just go straight into being a full-time artist, kind of no matter what.
No matter what. That is what I like to hear. Katie was chasing that dream, ready to make it happen. I've always believed that if you've got two plans in front of you, say plan A is to be a full-time painter and plan B is to be a graphic designer, whatever you give the most energy to is what will come true. You pour all this time, all this money and effort into graphic design, and of course, it works out. But imagine if you had took that same dedication, all those years, all that money, and put it into plan A, where would it end up? Of course, there's a practical side to this as well. We all have bills to pay, and Katie knew that as well as anyone does, and she was determined not to become the stereotypical starving artist.
When I graduated, I really did not know a lot. I did like apply to a lot of graphic design jobs and like the very like kind of practical, like, oh, I'll design this like packaging, or I'll do this little like one-off book cover. Like I did a couple things like that. But at the same time, I was working at coffee shops. I was working at a coffee shop and a grocery store, and like working a lot right after college because I needed money. So I was doing that. And at the same time, I would make a 5-year plan. Like, okay, what do I have to do to make this happen? I have to get a body of work going. I have to work on just like getting better as an artist, because now finally I was free of assignments, so I could start actually doing work for myself.
It was time for Katie to make her own work, to focus on what she loved. But as it often does, adult life crept in and had its own plans and priorities.
First couple of years, I honestly didn't do a whole lot of work because I was just burned out. I feel like that's probably pretty common. I was really just like working like 60 hours a week, whatever, at the coffee shop and grocery store, just trying to make ends meet. But like, I was also kind of working on stuff for myself. And I would talk to people I was working with at the time about like my artwork. So just through one of my coworkers, her sister worked at this little shop. So that was where I had my first gallery show. She was like, okay, it's going to be gallery night on this night. Can we show 10 of your pieces? So I was like, heck yeah. So I just like developed 10 pieces to show. And that was kind of how it started.
And getting, once you finally got that first show, how did that feel?
Oh, amazing. It was so exciting. Just being able to see, I know like, it was like way up high because all of the like merchandise was down low. So like all the pieces were up high and you couldn't really see them that well. But to be there that night and be like, this is my work, and to see everything like together was huge, like a really awesome opportunity at the time. And it kind of felt like just a glimmer of hope in this very dim time of waking up at 5 to make lattes for people.
For the first time, she could see what she was capable of. That small, bright spot of hope. It was just enough to keep her moving forward.
Looking back, it kind of boggles my mind how much confidence I had that it would work out. You know, because there's no guarantee at all. It could just like, I think my thought was like, worst case scenario, in 10 years, I'll still be working in a coffee shop, but at least I'll be able to paint. You know what I mean? I was always very much like, whatever I have to do to keep this going, I'm going to do that, because I would rather work doing a job that I'm kind of meh about, that's not creatively draining, than working at a company where I do graphic designs that people argue about all day that I just expend all of my creative energy on, and I have nothing left for my personal work. You know what I mean? Like, my personal work was always the most important to me, and everything else was kind of to serve that.
It's funny how much confidence we have when we're young and full of dreams. I remember a time when I had zero doubts about my own plans, but as we get older, reality starts to kick in, doubts creep up, and sometimes you even have to fight to hold on to that original spark to keep going. Katie, though, she didn't give up. She pushed forward, and soon she was honing in on her own unique style, the one that would come to define her work today.
And around that time, I started to like see that really pay off in a lot of ways, in that like I saw my style kind of start to develop, and I really started enjoying what I was creating. Like, I always liked art, but it was always a struggle of never quite getting to what you're trying for. You know, like, you have this image in your head, but you can't quite get there because your skill isn't there. But like, I finally sort of started to feel like maybe I can, this is like the closest it's ever been to actually looking how I want it to look. And it started to get like really fun. And I feel like that's something that I always try to, like, I occasionally teach at my ed now. And that's something I always try to really drive home to students, is that like, you're obviously drawn to art for a reason. And if you can't like physically get out the work that you want to now, it's a skill issue. Like, it's something that you can learn. It's not like a you issue. Like, it's something you can get to eventually if you just don't give up. So
thankfully for us, Katie didn't give up. She kept pushing. She kept creating until she finally found her style, the one we all know and love. But yet she's still always trying to improve, because for her, there's always something more to learn and a new layer to explore.
Yeah, there's always room for improvement. And I am perfectionist, very much so. So I've never really been happy with my work per se. Like, I can be really tough on myself and on my work, and I'll usually finish something and be like, ugh. But at the same time, kind of like really enjoying it. I don't know. It's weird. It's like a love-hate thing for sure. But I definitely feel like I have improved a lot just technically, but there's always so much room for improvement. Like, there are a lot of specific things that I'm like, I need to get to more figure drawing workshops for sure. And I need to like practice using lighter colors and stuff. I don't know. There's like a whole big long list of ways I'm like, I'm going to do this in the next couple of years to get better.
I think personally, a part that makes art so good is its imperfections. Nothing in life is perfect. And Katie herself has always shared a disdain for the idea of a perfect narrative when it came to books and stories. I mean, life is not perfect. Life does not always end with that happy ending and a bow to tie everything neatly together like we'd see in so much literature. Life is more like a roller coaster. It's full of ups and downs, and it's nowhere near a straight line. And Katie sees art in the same way. It doesn't have to be perfect.
The gap between what you can do and what you want to do is what makes it human and what makes it interesting. It is very, it's almost kind of hypocritical of me to hold myself up to that standard, because I love like outsider art, like children's art, I think is so cool because it is obviously someone reaching for this idea. Like, I think that's the interesting part, especially with AI art and like computer generated art. It's easier to attain this quote perfection, but that's not what makes it compelling to people, you know? So trying to be able to embrace those kind of quirks, like, I always do one eye slightly off to the side, and it's not on purpose. It's just kind of the way I draw eyes, and it's annoying, but it's just kind of that thing. It's stuff like that that like gives you your style. Otherwise, it's, yeah, like, why are you even making it if it's already like perfect?
While Katie was working at coffee shops and waitressing, doing whatever she had to do, she kept creating. She kept sharing her works on Instagram and was putting her work out there little by little.
I'm pretty sure I felt like a late adopter at the time, which is funny because it's been around for so long. I don't remember the exact year, but Like, I had friends who posted, like, vacation pictures. So I had joined, but I didn't really post anything because I'm just not, like, I don't know, I'm still, even though I post a lot more these days, it's mostly artwork and not as much, like, my personal life. So I just kind of tried it out a little, just, like, post a picture here. Like, hey, this is what I'm working on. Once again, kind of going back to that, like, artwork as a way of relating to people thing was almost like, well, everyone else has these vacation pictures and pictures of them that they're posting, but maybe I can, like, post my artwork and maybe people will like that. So I think it was kind of, I didn't really even think about it as a growing my business thing. It was more just like, maybe I can find more people who are, like, interested in seeing this stuff that I'm doing.
Eventually, her work started reaching people beyond her circle of friends, and strangers were discovering her art, and her fan base began to grow. How did it feel when people started noticing, when your post began to take off and, you know, it was more than just your friends liking it?
I mean, great. It felt like people kind of understood what I was saying, I guess. Like, there are, I mean, still whenever anyone gives me feedback about any piece of artwork, it is just, like, very much like connecting with someone and, like, putting this thought out there into the universe. And, like, if it resonates with someone, that's, like, the best feeling in the world. So yeah, when people started liking stuff and, like, following and encouraging me in that way, that was huge, especially when, not that I wasn't getting encouragement, like, here in, like, the actual world, like, of course, like, my friends and family, always very encouraging. But, like, having, like, an audience like that was a really cool feeling.
So did sales start coming in through Instagram, or how are you making sales at the time?
A little bit. Really slow at first. I started selling stuff in, like, an Etsy shop. I don't remember if it was, like, a little bit before or a little after I started the Instagram. It may have been before, actually, come to think of it. I had, like, oh wow, it's so weird how this stuff just, like, floods back to me. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that part. But yeah, I had the Etsy store that was kind of, like, not a ton of people. Obviously, having, like, an audience on Instagram helped a ton. So yeah, like, people kind of started being interested in purchasing originals and stuff. I feel like it was probably around, like, 2015, 16, a little bit after that Hot Pop show, that I started doing markets. And that actually helped a lot to just get, like, eyeballs on my work and people interested, because it always seemed like it was like, the people who actually physically saw it who started developing, like, an emotional connection with your work and started following you really closely too.
With each sale at a craft fair or on Etsy, that full-time artist dream began to feel a lot more real. The path to a full-time artist was starting to take shape.
It felt like a possible path forward, for sure. It was like, this is definitely a way I can maybe, like, kind of cobble together a living by just, like, making stuff and selling it. Because, I mean, I've always been, like, crafty. My mom is very crafty too, so we grew up working on stuff together. So it was like making things. At the time, like, there was a big kind of craft fair moment happening in Milwaukee, in the Midwest in particular. Author Faith Levine, she wrote Handmade Nation. Like, she was a Milwaukee local, and I would see her at the coffee shop pretty often. So there was a lot of movement around, like, handmade goods and around craft fairs, stuff like that at the time. So kind of being a little bit of a part of that, even if it was, like, I'm selling prints of this thing that I made instead of, like, here's this thing I crocheted, still felt really gratifying as well to kind of be a part of that. And there's also something so important, I think, about, like, people in person with stuff like that. Like, obviously, the online connections are awesome, and it's a really good way for faraway people to see your work. Hearing feedback in real time on your work is just a totally different feeling, I think.
Sharing her work publicly made one thing even more clear, and that was that art was Katie's best way of connecting. It was her language, the way she reached people, without needing to even say a word.
yeah, kind of another, like going back yet again to the making connections through artwork, it, like a way for me to kind of interact socially with people and have like something to cling to, sort of. Yeah, because it's, I'm still like shy at craft fairs, but at least I can kind of talk to people because there's like something to talk about, because they can like ask me about my artwork and I can tell them about that. So ask me about the materials I use and I will not shut up. So.
So now you're a full-time artist. When did that big shift happen? When did you go from artist on the side to full-time artist?
It was a real slow process of like drop a shift here, pick up another couple of markets there, like drop another shift. I eventually, like it took me like a decade. I didn't fully leave the service industry until COVID happened. So that whole time I was working in different restaurants, and toward the end I was a cocktail server at a cocktail lounge. And I think I was just working weekends. And then COVID happened and my ad asked me if I was interested in teaching a course. So I was like, well, this is going to be a pretty obvious shift. So I started teaching online there, as like, I started teaching in person first and then COVID happened, basically. And it pivoted online. Then finally, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, I kind of like took a break from the teaching as well. So right now I'm just completely self-employed. Although the teaching thing is always going to be there. I mean, the cocktail server thing is always going to be there too. It's always nice to have that in your back pocket, because like, you never know.
As someone who's shy, what was it like stepping into that role of teaching and trying, you know, standing in front of a room of students, trying to help them learn to make art?
Oh my God, it was so scary. It was very, very scary. I was nervous about starting it just because I know myself and how I talk in front of other, like talking one-on-one is okay. That's not as bad, but talking in front of people in like a lecture format is, oh my God. It's definitely gotten a little less scary each time I've done it. I think it was 2019 I started. And then, so that means I did it for like 4 or 5 years. So each year got a little bit less scary, but I would do so much preparatory work. Just so I was like, I cannot talk on this subject until my knowledge is unimpeachable. I must know every answer to every question that will pop up. I was like, I cannot call myself a teacher unless I know every single thing about this. And obviously you can't. And obviously, it's like something that's incredibly subjective. The first couple of classes I taught were extra stressful because I did, one class was like a mixed media class where I taught mediums I don't normally work in, which was ink and watercolor and acrylic. And like, I don't do anything with ink. Ink is very foreign to me. I like pencil. I like being able to have a lot of control over what I do. And ink, you put it down and it's done. That was really stressful because showing people to do anything and not being immediately fantastic at it is just the worst feeling in the world to me.
She didn't hold back. She poured herself into this teaching and she created an entire painting course inspired by her own style of creating works.
After that, I developed a painting course like specifically for illustrators that kind of combined direct and indirect and kind of was like, will teach you like oil painting, but do it through the lens of illustration and being able to like invent scenes instead of doing a lot of like still life. So that I put way more work into that than I necessarily got paid for, but I also really enjoyed it. I think in being so nervous about talking in front of people, I made more work for myself than was necessary. And it was, that was part of the reason why I'm not doing it right now, just because I would have such, I felt my chest tightening in that same way it did during those clarinet recitals, like before each class. I was like, oh man, oh, this is going to be rough. And I would just kind of like fumble my way through it. And I don't think the students necessarily even noticed that how nervous I was, because I got a lot of like good feedback from students, which I thought was crazy, because just in my mind, it was just like pure panic when I'm talking in front of a group of students.
Despite all of that, she found real joy in working with younger artists and helping them grow. What was it like when you were actually, you know, helping others and you could see that you were making an impact on the works they were creating?
Oh, that's my favorite part. That is why I want to go back and try it again. It's just so enjoyable to help someone with something like that. And I just love the like one-on-one going around the classroom and talking to each student about like, what have you been struggling with this piece? Like, how can we maybe improve it? And like to offer suggestions to help them out is just like, makes like all of my years of like struggling through stuff worth it to be able to have the knowledge to help them. And even if they don't end up being like a professional artist, I think there's still so much worth to being able to paint and like learning to observe the world around you, that I think it's still a really enjoyable thing for me. So I do like it despite the stress, but like, yeah, it is.
Okay. So here you are right now, full-time artist, Katie. How does it feel to look around and realize like you're actually living that dream?
Really weird. It's really nice. And there's nothing to like complain about though, except for yourself, which is like, there's always like, oh, if only I didn't have this shift this Saturday, then I would be able to do so much more work. And now it's just like me, I am the problem. I am the only problem here. So it's a lot more responsibility and a lot more like having to be a good boss to yourself, which is a skill set I have been slowly developing throughout these many years. So yeah, it's great. It's awesome. I feel extremely lucky to be able to just do this for a living right now. It's crazy how lucky I feel.
So through everything you've been through and where you are in life now, how does it feel? How do you feel?
Honestly, there's a lot of, I feel weird talking like positively about myself, so this is kind of difficult, but like definitely very proud of the fact that I've stuck with it. Like I wanted to do something and I actually kept doing it and kept at it and like have had the wherewithal to do it full time, because there's a lot of very unglamorous aspects about it to contend with that like I've been able to make work that I'm just like really proud of myself for doing it. And I'm just like really grateful for like all of the help that I have received from people, and just kind of like I really feel for anyone whose families don't necessarily support them, or they've kind of had to overcome other challenges. It's a strange feeling, because you get so like caught up in the day-to-day, like, oh, I have to do this, I've got this show coming up, that I should think about that more. Like, I didn't really sit and think about that until you just asked that question. I was like, oh, wait. Oh, no, that's true. Whoa, wild. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's difficult. It's difficult to express.
Katie has immersed herself in art for an entire life. Drawing, painting, those were her true outlets. They were her language, a way to weave her stories into the fabric of her own reality. And for nearly a decade, she juggled day jobs while returning to her easel in the evenings, fueled by a relentless hope that her passion might one day blossom into a full career. Stories like Katie's fill me with joy and inspiration, because they remind us that success doesn't hinge on perfection or on being the most sociable person in the room. It's about creating something meaningful, something deeply personal, and committing to it consistently. That is where you can find true success. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the podcast. We're getting very close to episode 50, and I can't tell you enough how excited I am for episode 50. So I appreciate all of you who have stuck around to the very end, who listened. Please consider supporting the show on Patreon. Please consider going to the Myers-Rule website and collecting prints. That supports not only the artist, but me as well, and helps me keep doing this. And you get a beautiful limited edition print to hang on your wall. Thank you so much, everyone. I appreciate all of you. And I will see you in the next episode.